Besides hating product test mission, elephant pull product test mission, and game all. The law is that in order for a food to become tome, it must have been hochschalakabel tuma, which means that it has become fitting to become tome. A particular thing must have occurred with that food in order for it to become fitting to become tome, and then once that thing occurs, if it then touches a source of impurity, an avatuma, then the food would become tome. Or even if it touches a rishalatuma, something which itself became tome from an avatuma. Now what exactly is that occurrence? The answer is, the food must have become wet by one of seven liquids, either milk, or wine, or water, or blood, and more. And once that food has become wet, only then is it fitting to become tome. That doesn't mean that it has to be wet at the time that it touches the source of impurity, but it must be that at some point since the creation of this food, it has become wet. In addition to that, it must be that it became wet in a way that the owner of that food was pleased with the fact that it was becoming wet. That means that it became wet lerotzain, with the desire, so to speak, of the person who owns it. Once that occurs, then the food is now fitting to become tome. The point of this mission is to show that all of that is only with regards to hechsher lekabel tuma, to making food fitting to become tome. This is a law unique to food. It doesn't apply to kelim, to utensils. If a utensil is considered a kli already, then it's able to become tome even without becoming wet. The point of the mission is to show that this law also does not apply to liquid which itself is tome. If the liquid itself is tome, and it touches food or it touches a kli, then that item will become tome regardless of whether the owner is pleased with the liquid's presence on that item. Ha'isha, a woman who is tome, shenotav cholav midadeha, from whom milk dropped from her breasts, v'nofala v'ratanur, and fell into the airspace of a oven. Milk is one of the seven liquids that would make food fitting to become tome. However, in this case, the woman wasn't necessarily pleased with the fact that the milk entered into the oven. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says, Tomei, the oven will become Tomei, Shaham Mashkem, Etamei Lerotzen, Mishol Lerotzen, because liquids make other items Tomei if the liquid itself is impure, whether the owner is pleased with it or not. On a similar note, if a woman was, let's say, a Rishay Netuma, she had touched a source of impurity, an Avat Tuma, and Hoisagar Fatoi, she was cleaning out the ashes from the bottom of the oven, v'hikoa koitz, and a thorn hit her, v'yotzma men odam, and blood came out of her finger. Thorns were often mixed with the wood or the twigs that were being used in order to fuel the fire of the oven. So this woman started bleeding, and blood is one of the seven liquids which can make something fitting to become tome. But once again over here, certainly she's not pleased with the presence of this liquid. But as we mentioned, it's irrelevant whether she's pleased with it or not, because since she is tome, the liquid which comes out of her body is also tome. Oisha nichvas, or if she gets burnt on the wall of the oven, v'nosnaitz bo l'slich piha, and she immediately placed her finger inside her mouth in order to use her saliva to cool down the burn. And then she put her finger back into the airspace of the oven. Now there is saliva on her finger, which has the same status as water, at least as soon as the saliva exits her mouth. And since that woman is tome, the water which comes out of her body will also be tome, and therefore in both of these cases, nitmar, the oven, will have become tome. Perek Tes Mishnah Aleph, the first couple of Mishnahs of this perek talk about the concept of tsomid posil, when a utensil is totally sealed from all sides, and this is one of the two main ways in which the food inside of that utensil can be protected from becoming tome, even if the utensil is situated inside the airspace of a tome oven or a tome earthenware utensil. The other way of protection is toich toichoi, where even if it's not totally sealed, as long as the opening to that utensil is above the oven and it doesn't combine with the airspace of the oven itself, then it would protect the food which is inside there from becoming tome. But if the entire utensil is inside the airspace of the oven, but it's still totally sealed, then there would be the concept of tsomid posil, which would protect the food from becoming tome. Now there's one big difference between these two forms of protection, and that is that a tsomid posil protects not only from the impurity which is in the earthenware utensil, but even from the most severe type of tumor that exists, that which comes from a dead body. If this utensil is found under the same roof as the dead body, it would still protect that which is inside of it from becoming tome, from that very severe form of and source of impurity. That having been said, this is only true if the Tzomit Posel itself, if the Kli itself, which is totally sealed, is Tahar. However, if that Kli itself is Tomei, then it loses its power to protect that which is inside of it from becoming Tomei, and the food would indeed become Tomei from the dead body, which is under the same roof. We're going to learn in Mishnah Beis that Midrabbanan, even pure utensils which are totally sealed as Tzomit Posel, even those wouldn't protect most items which are inside of them from becoming Tomei, and that was the subject of the next Mishnah, why exactly the Rabbanan did not want to differentiate between Tohar utensils which are totally sealed and Tomei ones. We're going to see in this Mishnah that even once they decreed that a totally sealed utensil would no longer protect that which is inside of it from becoming Tomei, items which are inside the thickness of the walls of the utensil which is totally sealed, they were not included in the decree of the Rabbanon, and therefore they would still be protected as long as it's part of a Tohar Kli, which is totally sealed. In that case, the item which is in the thickness of that utensil would not become Tomei, even if it's under the same roof as a dead body. And that we're going to see in the second part of this Mishnah, but the first part of the Mishnah doesn't yet go into that discussion, and rather it comes to define what exactly is included in the airspace of an oven. Machatei tabas, a needle or a ring, shenimtzu b'nechushtei shel tanur, which are found in the earth, which is at the bottom of the oven. The tanur is the cone-shaped oven, which is narrower at the top, and it's used for baking bread, and it wouldn't have a base, rather the base would be the ground itself. So if there is a ring or a needle embedded into the earth at the bottom of the oven, and near in, it's very much visible, so it's not totally buried underground, but it does not protrude upwards into the actual airspace surrounded by the walls of the oven. And we're talking about a metal needle or ring which became Tomei from a dead body, which means that the ring itself became an Av HaTumah, and therefore it's able to make even other Kalim impure. And if it's considered to be within the airspace of the oven, then the oven would indeed become Tomei, because an Av HaTumah is within its airspace. So how do we define whether it's considered to be in the airspace of the oven? Im Ofes HaBotzik V'Negeh Bohen, if when he bakes bread on the walls of the oven, the dough, as it expands, or perhaps as soon as it's placed on the oven, it would slip a little bit downwards, and if upon doing so it would touch the ring or the needle at the bottom of the oven, so then Tomei, the oven would become Tomei, because then the needle or the ring is considered to be part of the airspace, part of the inside of this oven. And the Mishnah clarifies, Be'ezeh Botzik Omru, regarding which type of dough did they say this definition. There are some doughs which are much thicker and wouldn't slip downwards and touch things at the bottom at all. On the other hand, there are some doughs which are very runny. So the Mishnah says, Botzik Beinoni, we're talking about an average dough whose thickness is on a medium level. And now the Mishnah goes into the details of the concept of Tzomit Posel, a container which is totally sealed on all sides. And the Mishnah is going to show that although the Rabbanon got rid of the general protection of Tzomit Posel, and that Midrabbanon items inside of Tzomit Posel do become Tomei, even if the Kli which is totally sealed is Tohar, nevertheless, the Rabbanon did not decree anything with regards to items which are inside the thickness of the wall of the utensil, and therefore nimtzu b'tefilas hatanur mukov tzomit posel, if the ring or the needle is found embedded inside the clay wall, the clay which totally surrounds the wall of the oven, and is a thick layer in order to preserve the heat inside of the oven, so if the needle or the ring are found inside that clay, and we're talking about an oven which is mukov tzomit posel, it's totally sealed on all sides. Since it's found inside the actual wall of the oven, we revert to the regular law which applies midoraisa, that imba tomei, if the oven itself is tomei, then it hasn't got the power to protect from tumah entering into it. And as such, tomein, the ring and the needle would become tomei. However, imba tohar, if the oven itself is tohar, then tohirim, the needle or ring which are inside the wall of the oven, would remain pure. The third scenario of the Mishnah involving the ring and the needle, which are classic metal utensils, the Mishnah talks of a case where nimtzu b'mikuf hasechovis, they are found inside the lid, the kind of cork, which was made out of clay at the top of a barrel. The barrel is totally sealed, the cork is placed inside, And the cork was made out of clay, and the only part of the cork which was considered to be totally vital for closing the barrel was the bit which went into the top of the barrel and slightly upwards. However, they would often make these corks in a way that the clay would go over the sides of the top of the barrel as well, much like the regular lids that we have on our bottles, just that it would be a thicker outside, and it would also have a cork part, a part which goes into the actual bottle itself. But the parts on the side are not considered to be vital and totally necessary for the sake of closing the bottle. And because of that, just like we've seen with regards to many kalim, the parts which are not necessary and don't fulfill the same function as the main kli don't become secondary to it and are not considered to be part of that main utensil. And because of that, if the metal ring or needle are found mitzideha, they're embedded into the inside of the clay, which is on the side of the top of the barrel. It's the part which is not necessary, and therefore we look at it as its own utensil. We look at it as its own entity, separate from the rest of the kli. And of course, by itself, it's just a bit of clay, which doesn't have the status of a kli, let alone a kli which is totally sealed, and therefore it would not protect the needle or the ring from becoming tomei and tamei, and they would become tomei. Mekeneged piha. However, if the ring or the needle were embedded inside the clay which is opposite the actual mouth of the barrel, it's the part which is vital for closing the barrel, so then it has the same status as the rest of the kli. It's part of this kli which is totally sealed. It's mukov tzomid posil, and therefore tohirim, they would be pure, and they would be protected from the tumah which is coming from the outside. And once again, although midrabbanon, there's no such protection for metal items, even if they are inside of a sealed kli, since these are situated either inside the walls of the kli or inside of the lid itself, it's not inside the airspace. So the Rabbanon never decreed with regards to such items, and therefore it would be protected from the tumah. Now the Mishnah discusses two final cases and defines whether the needle or the ring is considered to be within the airspace of the kli inside, in which case midrabbanon, it would not be protected from tumah, or do we consider it to be part of the lid, in which case it would be protected from the tumah. Nirin b'soicha, if the needle or the ring can be seen inside the barrel, meaning if you're looking from inside the barrel, you would see the ring, it's not totally covered by the clay lid. It's right at the bottom of the lid, and there's no clay below the ring. It's surrounded on all other sides by clay, but the bottom does not have any clay underneath it. However, avaloila avira is not actually inside the airspace of the walls of the barrel. The clay was shaped in such a way that it went over the barrel, sort of like a bridge shape. It would go slightly higher up. The clay would begin from the walls of the barrel, going up, and then it would be connected both sides at the top. But it's possible for the ring to be at the bottom of there and still not be in between the walls of the barrel. In that case, they would remain pure because it's not in the airspace of the barrel. It's in the airspace of the lid, and therefore, even if it's under the same roof as a dead body, it would be protected from the tumah because if it's not defined as being in the airspace of the barrel, so it definitely is considered to be inside the lid of the barrel. Now what happens if we have sort of the opposite case where the clay, not only does it not go above the barrel, but it actually sinks into part of the airspace of the barrel. Like a regular cork. The cork goes inside the top of the bottle itself. So shoykin b'soicha, it sinks into the barrel itself, the tachtein k'klubas ashum, and underneath the ring or the needle is some clay. Even if it's as thin as a garlic peel, a tiny, tiny amount of clay, since at the end of the day, the ring is totally surrounded by the lid, it's considered to be part of that clay lid, and tohirin, it would therefore remain pure. Mishnah Beis, we mentioned in the previous Mishnah already that midrabbanon, even a pure utensil which is totally sealed, it's mukov tzomid posil, and although according to the strict letter of the law it should really protect the items inside of it from becoming tomei, midrabbanon, it does not do so for all utensils. And this is the focus of this Mishnah. Chodeshim leo mashkin tohirin. If a barrel is filled with pure liquid, and there is a metal straw inside of the barrel, used for drinking from the liquid, the metal is considered to be a kli, it can become tomei, mukefet tzomid posil, the barrel is totally sealed on all sides, and it's placed inside a room under the same roof as a dead body. Everybody agrees that mid-oraisa, the metal would not become tomei, nor would the liquid, because it's inside a utensil which is totally sealed. However, and it's true that the barrel itself and the liquid remain pure. However, the metal straw is tomei. And the reason for Beis Shammai is as follows. A chover refers to somebody who is very particular with the laws of purity and impurity. He makes sure to eat everything in a state of tara, in a state of purity. Whereas an am ha'aretz is somebody who is not so particular. And because of that, with regards to a chover, he really suspects an am ha'aretz, and he needs to suspect that any utensil which is owned by an am ha'aretz is tomei. However, that doesn't mean that the chover would never borrow a utensil from an am ha'aretz. If he wanted to use a utensil, he would borrow it from him, and he would simply dip it into a mikveh to purify it, and he'd be able to use it. However, there are really two issues with this. Firstly, he would never be able to borrow an earthenware utensil, because as we've mentioned already in this mesechta, earthenware can never be purified. Once an earthenware kli becomes tomei, in order to purify it, it has to be broken. So therefore, a chover would never borrow an earthenware item from an am ha'aretz, but things like metal, he would. The second issue, however, which applies even to metal utensils, is that not every level of tumah can be purified just by dipping it into a mikveh. Particularly, if something becomes tomei from a dead body, then it can only be purified in a much longer 7-day process, where the solution made from the ashes of a parah adumah, a particular red cow, need to be sprinkled on that item. It's a much longer process, and nobody would borrow an item if he knew that it had become tomei from a dead body and would require all of that in order to purify it. However, this wasn't necessarily such an issue, because although amei ha'aretz, people who were not so particular with regards to the laws of tumah, they were not generally trusted with regards to these laws. They were relatively particular and careful with the laws of tumah which comes from a dead body because of its high level of severity, and therefore if a chover, somebody who is careful with all of the laws of purity, if he asks the am ha'aretz from whom he is borrowing the utensil whether it has become tomei from a dead body, and the am ha'aretz says that it hasn't, he is able to trust the am ha'aretz, and he would take that item, and all he would need to do is just to dip it into the mikveh, purify it, and then he'd be able to use it with the safe assumption that it is tahar. The problem begins when it comes to tzomid posel, because according to the strict letter of the law, a tahar utensil which is totally sealed does protect from the items inside of it from becoming tomei. However, a tomei utensil which is totally sealed does not. Now, an am ha'aretz does not view his utensils as tomei. Unless he knows that they became tomei from a dead body, he views them as regular utensils. He's not an expert in the laws of tumah and tahara, so he thinks that his utensils are pure. So if you ask him whether a particular metal item of his that you want to borrow is tahar, and whether it became tomei from a dead body, even though the am ha'aretz is trusted in general with those areas of tumah, it wouldn't help over here, because it could be that the particular item that you want to borrow was inside a totally sealed kli. So when the am ha'aretz tells you that it's tahar, that's because he thinks that although it was inside a room with a dead body, but it was surrounded by a mukav tzamid pasil. So the item which was inside of it didn't become tomei. So he tells you with confidence that no, it didn't become tomei from a dead body, but little does he know that in terms of the chover, that kli in which the item was situated is considered to be tomei. The ha'aretz doesn't think it's tomei, but really it is tomei. If it is tomei, that means that it wouldn't protect that which is inside of it, which means that ultimately that which is inside of it did become tomei from a dead body, and it wouldn't be able to be purified in a mikveh, and it would emerge that really a chover would never be able to borrow anything because of this case. It could be that maybe it was inside of a sealed item, and for all the am ha'aretz is concerned, it didn't become tomei, but really it did, because the surrounding utensil is tomei, and therefore it does not protect that which is inside of it from becoming tomei. Because of all of this, in order to solve this problem, the Rabbanon decreed that a utensil which is totally sealed does not protect that which is inside of it from becoming tomei. And that way there would never be a case where an am ha'aretz thinks that it was protected, and really it wasn't, because even according to what he thinks, that the surrounding utensil is pure, it no longer protects that which is inside of it. So he would tell the person who wants to borrow it that indeed it did become tummy from a dead body, and he wouldn't borrow it. Now, all of this is true with regards to metal items which were inside of a totally sealed item. But if there is a earthenware item inside of another totally sealed earthenware utensil, then even a drabonon, it would be protected from the tumor, because a chover would never borrow an earthenware item from an am ha'aretz. So there was no need to make this decree, and therefore only other materials which make kalim that a chover would borrow Only those mit Jabon are no longer protected by being inside of a totally sealed utensil. Or we still, I mean, we still say Afmanikas Dehira. Even the metal straw remains pure. However, this is before Beis Hillel heard the entire explanation of Beis Shammai. But once they heard what Beis Shammai explained, Chos Beis Hillel hosted Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel reverted, they retracted their opinion, and agreed with Beis Shammai. Mishnah Gimel Hasheretz, a small dead animal, one of the 8 shirotzim which are listed in the Torah as being a source of impurity, which is found below the floor of the oven, which means that it's definitely not part of the airspace of the oven. However, we need to wonder how exactly the sheretz got to be in the earth underneath the oven. Seemingly, it must have gone through the top of the oven, in which case it would have made the entire oven impure. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says that Tohar, the oven, remains pure, Shani Omer, because I'm able to say, Chai Nofal. The sheretz fell through the oven whilst it was still alive, and only once it reached underneath the earth, the Achshav Meis, only now is it dead. The reason why we don't need to be strict out of doubt is because of the concept of chazaka, which means that the status of an item remains the same as it has been until now, remains constant until known definitively otherwise. So since the oven previously had the status of being tohar, that status is retained until known otherwise. On a similar note, machat o tabaas, a tomei needle or ring, shenimtzu lamatam in chushta shaltana, which are found below the earth of the oven, tohar, the oven will remain pure, shani omer, because I'm able to say that shom hoyu ad shelo ba'a tanur, the tomei items were there before the oven was placed there. So it's not that they fell through the oven, but rather the oven was placed on top of there after the tomei utensils arrived. And therefore the tomei items were never within the airspace of the oven, so the oven remains pure. Once again, this is based on the principle of chazaka, that we can assume that the status of the pure oven, it continues to be pure. However, this is only to the extent that we are under in a case of doubt. Nimtzu be'efer makle, but if the ring or the needle are found amongst the burnt ashes at the bottom of the oven, then tomei, then the oven would be tomei, she'enu b'mei yisle, because there is nothing that we can suspend the doubt upon in this case, and it's very clear that they fell in there only very recently, and that they were not there before the oven was placed on top of that area of the ground, and in that case, the oven would be tomei.